When Hitler did raise small amounts from wealthy donors, the motivations for such support more often had to do with radical chic than with preserving the capitalist system.
Edwin Bechstein and Hugo Bruckmann are often cited as wealthy supporters of Nazism, but they only met Hitler through their wives, Helene and Elsa.
Both women were middle-aged, established members of Munich High Society, and while they jealously competed with each other, they shared a common love for Wagnerian opera and were united by their crushes on the fiery radical who would titillate the patrons of the respective salons by hanging his holstered gun and bullwhip on the coat rack before entering and expounding on everything from Wagner to Bolshevism to the Jews. Both women were incensed when rumors circulated that Hitler's whip was a gift from the other woman. The reality was that Hitler had received bullwhips from both women and that each believed that he only carried hers. Such scenes were more reminiscent of Tom Wolfe's account of Leonard Bernstein's fundraising party for the Black Panthers than of some star chamber where the scions of international capitalism schemed to use Hitler as a sword to beat back the Red Menace. Eventually, the husbands offered their wives' pet projects some money, but not very much. Hitler still had to ride to many appearances in the back of an old pickup truck. The Fascist Bargain. Many liberals are correct when they bemoan the collusion of government and corporations. They even have a point when they decry special deals for Halliburton or Archer Daniels Midland as proof of creeping fascism. What they misunderstand completely is that this is the system they set up. This is the system they want. This is the system they mobilize and march for. Debates about economics these days generally enjoy a climate of bipartisan asininity. Democrats want to rein in corporations while Republicans claim to be pro-business.
The problem is that being pro-business is hardly the same thing as being pro-free market, while reining in corporations breeds precisely the climate liberals decry as fascistic.
The fascistic bargain goes something like this. The state says to the industrialist, "You may stay in business and own your factories. In the spirit of cooperation and unity, we will even guarantee you profits and a lack of serious competition. In exchange, we expect you to agree with and help implement our political agenda." The moral and economic content of the agenda depends on the nature of the regime. The left looked at German businesses' support for the Nazi war machine and leaped to the conclusion that business always supports war. They did the same with American business after World War I, arguing that because arms manufacturers benefited from the war, the armaments industry was therefore responsible for it. It's fine to say that incestuous relationships between corporations and governments are fascistic. The problem comes when you claim that such arrangements are inherently right-wing. If the collusion of big business and government is right-wing, then FDR was a right-winger. If corporatism and propagandistic militarism are fascist, then Woodrow Wilson was a fascist, and so were the New Dealers.